On September 11, 2001, four planes were hijacked and crashed into the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon building in Virginia, USA. A total of about 3,000 people were killed. The result? A new war against Islamic terrorism. On 13 May 2012, does anybody know what happened? Sergio Aguero scored the winning goal against QPR at the 93rd minute and 20th second to take the Premier League title away from Manchester United and to Manchester City. The result, Manchester officially became blue. It was the end of an era for Manchester United. I did skip church on that Sunday. I was not a Christian at that point. So in March 2020, the world came to a complete stop when lockdowns were announced for a new and very contagious disease called the coronavirus. The result? The COVID virus was somewhat contained, but the side effects of the lockdown had long-term economic and social effects. What does any of this have to do with our text today? Other than the fact that I'm always happy to talk about Manchester City, they are all defining, world-changing moments for our generation. This evening, we will look at another defining moment of our generation. And in fact, it's all the generations of the peoples of this earth. Let me state the main point of our meditation and we'll read the text. Doubting the true God has eternal negative consequences. Doubting the true God has eternal negative consequences. We'll be looking at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. But before we get to Genesis chapter 3, we have to think about the context a little bit. What happened in chapters 1 and 2? And to summarize, God, who has eternally existed, has created the heavens and the earth, all of that in 6 days. And the highlight of his creation was the man and the woman. They were made in God's own image. Chapter 1, verse 27 tells us this. They are given authority to rule over all of God's other creation. Now read with me chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" As soon as we read this verse, there should be a number of different questions that come to your mind. Who or what is this serpent? When did serpents start talking? Well, chapter 3 doesn't exactly spell all of that out. But we can understand from context of the actions that we will see and other texts in the Bible that this serpent is Satan. He is the adversary, the deceiver, the tempter. He is the enemy of God and God's people. So first, who is Satan? I don't know what it was like for you when you were growing up, but when I was growing up, Satan was terrifying. Satan was so scary that I would sometimes think about whether he was serious competition to God. After all, it is good versus evil, right? In one sense, that is true. Righteousness and evil are opposites. But when you think about the leader of all evil, Satan, I want you to notice what verse 1 says about him. He's an opposer of God, but he's not direct competition. At the end of the day, the serpent was just another creature that God created. Satan can do serious damage. But I want us to notice that ultimately God is supreme. He is the creator. There is no rival to him. Even Satan is an agent to God's elaborate plan. Maybe more questions are coming to your mind as you think about Satan and you think about this verse. Did God create evil? The answer is no. What is the origin of evil? The answer is we only have 15 minutes. And the answer is talk to one of the other pastors in this church. Second, what does Satan do? So we talk about who is Satan, but what does Satan do? We learn that Satan is a created being. What else do we learn about him? Well, even though we see in other parts of scripture that Satan and demons can possess you and do a lot of destructive work, the danger of Satan in this text is not possession. It's his deception. It's his craftiness. Well, how is he crafty? Look at what he says to the woman, a seemingly innocent question. Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? What's the answer to that question? Well, actually, God didn't say that. Read with me chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." It's interesting because God's command to his people started with a positive. In fact, Satan is saying the exact opposite of what God actually said. Satan is saying God said you cannot eat anything. God is actually saying you can eat of every tree except one. So chapter 2:9 talks about all the trees in the garden, and it specifically names two: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that you are not supposed to eat from, and the tree of life that you are free to eat from. The first thing Satan does in his cunningness is create a little confusion, a little distraction. Even though this might be a little small thing, it's just a slight change, one word. What Satan has done is he's planted doubt. And the doubt is about the goodness, about the trustworthiness of God. What does he do? He slightly twists the very words of God. This will be the start of something that's going to be destructive. We'll see that in the rest of chapter 3. But I want us to take a second and think about this for ourselves. Do you see how destructive a slight change to God's words are? Do you know and are you confident in what God has said to you? Do you know what God has communicated to you? And how do you know that? We pray today for the preaching of God's word, for the reading, for the studying of the Bible. I want to ask you, do you read the Bible regularly? Do you want to actually know what God has to say to you? Because this is God's communication to you. Friends, the dangers, the cost of not knowing what God says is devastating. We have our own forgetfulness. We have our own weaknesses. But I want you to see that Satan is also playing a key role in trying to deceive. He is working to confuse about what God actually has said. He wants you to disobey God. The rest of the chapter shows that Satan succeeded. The man and the woman, they disobey God. Remember, Satan does not force them to sin. He deceives them into sin. Ultimately, the decision to disobey God was the decision that the man and the woman made. He's cunning, he's crafty. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask, where have you made concessions for sin in your life? In what area has Satan slightly changed God's word for you? Did God really say that the sexually immoral would not inherit the kingdom of God? Galatians 5:19. I'm not really having sex with anybody. It's just innocent flirting. It's just looking at some inappropriate pictures. I'm not really hurting anybody. Nobody knows anyways. Did God really say that liars would have their part in the lake of fire? Revelation 21:8. It's just a white lie. It wasn't a lie as much as not telling the truth. It'll hurt my family or it'll hurt my disciple if I come clean. The church will be discouraged. I'll just hide it a little longer and it'll go away. Did God really say human anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God? James 1:19 to 20. That's true for others. But I have the right to be angry. My anger is just irritation and frustration after all. It's not like I'm shouting at anybody or hitting anybody. It's all internal anyways. Friends, we could keep going. But I want to ask you, what is the sin that you are protecting? What is the lie from Satan you believe over the words of God? Don't be deceived. You cannot disobey God and think everything will be fine. God will do what he said he will do. God is truth and Satan is the deceiver. What should have happened when Satan came up with his lies to tempt? Verse 6 actually tells us Adam was there with his wife the whole time. The man and the woman should have killed the snake and fled to God. Kill your sin and run to God when temptation comes. Verse 1 is the starting point of a life-altering, world-defining moment. Sin has entered mankind. The result, death and separation from God. Look at verse 22 to 24. Access to the tree of life is now lost too. The little seed of doubt that Satan plants in verse 1 grows into desire in the heart. And then it grows to action. We see that in verse 6. This sin has eternal consequences. Friends, many of us have been affected in some ways by the events of 9/11. Most of us have been affected by the events of COVID. Some of us are affected by the events of May 12, 2012. But the effects that happened in Genesis 3 affect every single one of us. Because of Satan's successful deception and temptation, all of us are born into sin. Who here has not sinned sexually? Who here has not ever lied? Who here has not gotten sinfully angry? And a whole host of other sins. We know God's true word, and we decide we will rebel against it, and so we will be judged for these. But friends, that's not the end. There's one more historical story, one more event that was world-altering and a life-changing moment. And we need to talk about that moment. It happened about 2,000 years ago. It was not dramatic or televised. In fact, it happened in a stable. It was the arrival of a king, you could say the arrival of the king, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. He was born as a human. The eternal God humbled himself. He was perfectly sexually pure. He was perfectly honest and true. He had no hint of sinful anger. He lived the life we could not live. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And this God-man, Christ Jesus, died. He gave up his life. He gave up his life not because he had to give it up for himself. He gave it up for the sins of others. Friends, the failures of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:1 was reversed by the successes of Jesus Christ on the cross. When Jesus died, he gave his righteousness as a free gift. It's anyone who believes in him who can receive this gift. He took their sin. He took our sin and judgment on himself. Jesus bore the full wrath of God so that you and I would not face the judgment that we deserve. All are born into Adam. Those who repent and believe in Jesus are born into Christ. I want us to think about, have you repented and put your trust in Jesus? Do you have this salvation as your own? And if you are a Christian, you don't have to listen to the lies of Satan anymore. God has spoken to you. And because he has redeemed you, you can live a righteous life. You can trust the words of your God. Genesis 3:1 is the start of a very fateful day for all of humanity. Yet when we study this text, it's actually not bad news anymore. It's not bad news anymore because as bad as that moment was, Satan's deception, his temptation only led to even greater glory for Jesus and even greater good and joy for God's children. We will not have death anymore, but we will have access to the tree of life according to Revelation 22. We will have no more separation from God, but we will be with God. We will have him according to Revelation 21. This will be the final historic event. It will be universe altering. When we will be with Jesus forever, and there will be no more temptation and sin that Satan can bring. Brothers, we pray that let us pray that this glorious gospel is what fuels us to fight Satan's temptations and his deceptions even today. Doubting the true God has eternal negative consequences. But trusting in Jesus has eternal positive consequences.